to Refilwe Mpakanyane. 1702.
8:50 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. Today, or right now, we're going to take a look at when or why brands support social justice campaigns. We know that about 3 days ago, the beauty brand Lux announced its support for Olympic gold medalist and world champion Caster Semenya in her fight against the IAAF. And, you know, she's fighting for them to allow her to compete in the 800-meter race in the upcoming 2021 Olympics. Of course, we know that... excuse me, the frog in my throat. Of course, we know that part of the fight, or a big part of the fight, is that the World Athletics body has ruled or has banned Semenya from competing in any track event between 400 meters and a mile unless she starts taking hormone-suppressing drugs. And the whole fight is, listen, this is how Custa was born. Why should she interfere with her biology in order to be able to, you know, do what she does well at, in order to live her dreams, essentially? And I really was curious about the kind of thinking or that goes into or the kind of how brands determine which social justice causes they will jump onto, and how they determine that, you know what, this cause is worthy of us bringing to bear our reputation, bringing to bear our influence. And I'm very happy to welcome on the line Nicola Cooper to help us interrogate all of that. Nicola Cooper is a trend researcher, an analyst, a cultural and an integrated strategist, and founder of Nicola Cooper and Associates, NCNA. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Nicola. Thank you so much for availing yourself.
Of course. Thank you ever so much for having me on such a really, really valid topic.
Well, you know, it's an absolute pleasure. Nicola, let's get right into it. Why do brands decide to jump onto either controversial or contested, you know, causes and topics? You know, who sits in a room and says, this is the time to align ourselves with a cause?
Well, I actually think, I mean, it's a fairly new manner in which brands are engaging with their audiences and their consumers. I think the demand comes mostly from the consumers. Mm. This is, you know, due to a number of different reasons. The fundamental one is, you know, being able to be transparent and being able to stand behind your statements.
Okay.
So, you know, in the past couple of years, and if we look at sort of the Black Lives Matter and the Black Square, which articulated across Instagram and various platforms last year, that's not enough for our consumers of brands.
Mm.
What they want to know is, like, how you're going to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously this is pulling from campaigns such as the Nike, Colin Kaepernick, as well as the Nike Caster Semenya.
Exactly, exactly. Well,
yeah.
You know, to that end, you know, Lux has started this petition to, as I say, overturn the World Athletics ruling ban. And they issued the statement, which included words like, Lux stands with all women, Lux stands with custom. Beyond petitioning, we can't obviously lose sight of the fact that, yes, you've mentioned Nike, right? A multinational corporation that has incredible cultural influence, financial influence, and corporate influence. Unilever, of course, owns Lux, and they're a 53.7 billion euro company, multinational as well, operating all over the world. Does this mean then that, you know, if Lux South Africa issues the statement, we can expect to see Unilever, the global company, bringing that influence, that reputation to bear in this matter as well? What does this fundamentally mean in real time, in real terms?
I think, you know, from inside those kinds of conversations in boardrooms, a number of companies such as Unilever or Beiersdorf are really questioning, like, how do we best serve our consumers so that they feel represented? And I think that, you know, in that case, it's not just around the stereotypical archetype representation, which is beauty. I mean, the way that the female archetype has been repositioned and challenged over the past few years, and the idea of gender fluidity and how gender stereotypes are shifting, brands such as Unilever or Lux or Beiersdorf, Nivea, are all starting to say, well, actually, this is something that's happening irrespectively of whether we are involved or not. Let's get involved in the most authentic way that aligns to us as a brand and what we stand for. So I think that there's a profound ripple effect that is starting off and starting to bubble, which I think will set the precedent for future campaigns.
So, I mean, Nicola, what could possibly be the downsides, the downside of this kind of, what do you call it, brand engagement? You know, what could possibly be the downside? I don't imagine a South African would look at Custer's case and say, well, they don't want her to compete in, you know, her races in the Olympics. We know in the US when Kaepernick was taking a knee and, you know, essentially barred from playing in the NFL, a lot of people that oppose Nike's position, you know, we saw them on social media tearing up their sneakers or burning them, etc. It did nothing to hurt Nike's bottom line. But is there ever an instance in this kind of matter where there is a downside for a brand or a company?
For sure. But just in terms of the Nike sort of scenario, they dipped initially in shares, but they actually grew incrementally. So what they did was, okay, it's a shock to the system, and they will lose certain consumers, but those who believe in that kind of philosophy and sort of engaged, and you even saw sort of celebrities wearing Nike on the red carpet as a form of support. So I think for me, and this is something that I generally do in boardrooms, and sometimes it is a case of just smacking someone on the hand, is that you don't necessarily want to adopt this if it's not in alignment to who you are as a brand. And because I think in some cases it's perceived as a trend. And, you know, you'll have in boardrooms someone saying, you know, ooh, we need someone that has vitiligo because what is being representative at the moment. And there's a very fine line between taking a stand and exploiting someone because it's a trend. And I think that that's a really, really fundamental question that brands have to ask themselves. Like, are we doing this? Like, what is our purpose? What is our objective here? And what, like, what do we actually want to represent? And if it's not in alignment to your brand or your product, don't do it. It's far more detrimental if it's inauthentic, you know, because we have cancel culture. We do have people that will call you out.
Absolutely.
So it's the case of not applying every trend or marketing sort of strategy out there because it's just being done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, this can never be a case of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. But before I let you go, before I let you go, Nicola, I think ultimately, when brands get this right, what does it result in? Is it always about the bottom line? What then are the benefits?
I think there's a number of different benefits. Obviously, for the bottom line, as you know, our sort of Gen Z and Gen Alpha and even our millennials buy into brands from an emotional connection, from a philosophical connection, whether it's sustainable, who is making my clothes, what does this represent as me as a person? And I've been saying this for many, many years. An item of clothing is not just a dress or a pair of shoes. It's what it represents completely. And that's, you know, when we look at brand alliance, that's one of the fundamentals of what's going to drive new consumers to your brand, is who you are as a brand. And it's quite difficult to navigate that? Like, what does that look like? What is that tone of voice?
Yeah.
You know, who do we align with and what are the potential pitfalls?
Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate that you engaging with us on that matter of Lux, of course, coming out in support of Caster Semenya. That's Nicola Cooper, Trends Analyst, founder of Nicola Cooper and Associates.